Hello, listeners. Welcome to Health Talk Radio Africa. Where are the nutrition jobs? Where are the nutritionists? How come many qualified nutritionists and dietitians end up jobless or doing jobs they did not train in? Those are the questions many people ask, especially university students studying nutrition and dietetics. Today, we answer those questions by talking to world-renowned Professor Julia Ojambo, one of the first nutritionists in Eastern Africa, a trailblazer in the field of nutrition, who had to create her own nutrition jobs for many decades. Professor Julia Ojambo completed a fellowship in community nutrition in London, a bachelor's degree in community health, and a master's of science degree in public health at Harvard University, and a PhD in nutrition at McGill, Nairobi. Professor Julia is credited with developing a protein-rich biscuit used in the treatment of kwashiorkor. Professor Julia has broken many ceilings. She's the first woman to contest for a presidential seat in Kenya, the first female assistant minister in the Kenyan cabinet, and the first woman chairperson of a political party. Her contribution to the field of nutrition and dietetics will benefit Kenyan nutritionists and dietitians for many decades to come. When serving as a member of parliament, Prof tabled a number of bills, one which led to the establishment of the Kenya Nutritionists and Dietitians Institute, known as KNDI. KNDI regulates training, registration, and licensing of nutritionists and dietitians in Kenya, providing regulations for the standards and practice of the profession. Health Talk Radio Africa is so privileged to sit with Professor Julia Ojambo, a pioneer in the field of nutrition, as she offers words of wisdom to aspiring nutritionists and dietitians. Let us welcome Prof. Thank you, Prof, for allowing Health Talk Radio Africa to come in with you. Listeners, this is the best we've ever had. We are in front of Professor Julia Ojambo, a trailblazer, a person whose shoes we cannot ever dream of filling up. Thank you, Prof, and welcome to Health Talk Radio Africa.
I'm most grateful to Radio Africa for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you. Prof, there's so much I want to talk about, so many questions I have to ask. You know, as a university lecturer and as a practicing dietitian in the hospital ward, I was often asked why in our society in Kenya, East Africa, we do not have many jobs for nutritionists. And my reply is always that we have to create the jobs ourselves. And so I'm asking you now, what do you think about this statement that there are no jobs for nutritionists in our society? What do you think about that?
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm amazed that you're saying that there are no jobs for nutritionists in our mm-hmm. society. Mm-hmm. And yet, every morning, mm-hmm. if you turn on the radio, you listen to media, mm-hmm. if you Google, mm-hmm. you just look at social media, the whole thing is awash with the talk about nutrition.
Yes, yes.
Who are these who talk and from what platform? Mm. And they're not at work. Who employs them to talk? Why the interest? So I've asked myself this question and said, is it true that there are no jobs for nutritionists? Is it true that nutrition is not well-known mm. subject? Mm. And then why the interest? Parochial,
Yes.
Nutrition is very close to people, to our people, I think to any community. And as you can be that interest is because it touches their lives.
Mm.
And they wake up and they now know how to express their inner understanding of what makes who they are.
Yes.
It's called nutrition.
Yes.
And they appreciate it. But to translate it into action, it becomes difficult to see how it works.
Yes.
So that's what we are required to do. To make people see and touch nutrition also.
Mm-hmm.
Because in their heart, in their systems, they feel nutrition is there. They feel the need. They feel the inadequacy. When it is not there, they know we are not going to be well.
Mm.
I must eat well. I must choose food well. I must be able to digest my food well.
Yes.
And then I will feel well.
Yes.
So it is a very complex question, maybe. It's not easy for nutritionists in the field. Because it seems like everybody has got an interest in the subject and can talk about it.
Yes.
And they interpret it at their own level.
Yes.
They have become experts of it.
Yes.
So the people who oftentimes we hear talk are not the trained nutritionists.
Yes. The voice that we hear on the media.
The voice that we hear in the media is not of the trained nutritionist.
Mm.
It has become a very popular topic.
Mm.
It has become a popular that has been well synthesized and and captured by the common majority, and they like it.
Yes.
It's very essential to them. If they don't talk about it, they feel something has gone wrong.
Okay.
And yet, the interpretation of it, the making of what it is that becomes a nutrition, becomes difficult.
So what I'm hearing you saying, Prof, is that we need to hear the voice of the nutritionist more in the community, because the voice that we are hearing are the service providers, the cooks, the people who prepare the food. They not necessarily have the nutrition degree. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes. Not necessarily the degree, but the skills.
The skills.
Because somebody would say, if I don't have a degree, I'm not a nutritionist.
Yes.
I want them to understand that we have also several layers
of nutrition.
Of nutritionists.
Yes.
That you can be, even at a community level, and be a nutritionist.
Yes.
In meaning that you understand the importance of the various foods that we have, that we grow, the variety.
Yes.
Just like the agriculture technician comes around and tells you mixed cropping, or something like that.
Yes.
So we also as nutrition stuff reach a level where we now tell the eater that you need to mix it.
Yes, yes.
And in our language, we go further and say mixed diet.
What you're telling the listeners is you have the knowledge, now apply it, look for an opportunity in the community to do better. For you, you saw an opportunity to help the Kwashoko. You used your skills to get a biscuit. You came to Kenya and you did the same with the pregnant women. So the opportunities are everywhere. In other words, that's what I am hearing you saying, Prof.
And in fact, it is.
Yes.
And here you are now armed with the skills.
Yes.
The opportunities are vast. You look around and you see the need.
Prof, I want you to repeat that so that every nutritionist who listens here, whether it is the student, whether it is the practicing one, I want you to say it loud and clear how the opportunities are here. Listeners, can you hear this?
I want to repeat that opportunities for a nutritionist in our community today are there, wide and vast.
You just have to be creative.
Just be creative. Observe the environment. Observe the populations. Observe the pattern of disease.
Yes.
And see where you can come in.
Yes.
Today, the communities are crying out for, even during this COVID time.
Yes.
How to improve their immune systems.
Yes.
And we are quiet.
Yes.
As I've not had a nutritionist talk. I've had the clinicians who talk, our physicians, our nurses.
But the voice of the nutritionist?
The voice of the nutritionist completely gone. This is when the nutritionists come forward and analyzing in this environment today and be able to talk with confidence that if you eat this and this and this together,
yes,
in this amount,
yes,
in this cup,
yes,
on that spoon,
yes,
in that cup, on that plate,
yes,
that you increase your immune system.
Yes.
How many times a day?
Yes.
Where can you find it? What is the alternative in your own community?
It's true.
If you don't have a carrot, what else can you eat? If you don't have meat, what else can you eat? You need meat.
Yes.
For immune system.
Yes.
You need the fish. And you know, there's so much we can talk to give people confidence.
Yes.
This is when they really want us and they want a voice.
This is
when
we are
not enough. Nutritionists are not enough. We have not trained enough. We have enough food scientists,
yes,
and nutritionists, and they are not talking.
They're waiting to be employed. In our society, people think that you need to be a doctor to give advice. Someone who doesn't know in the community, you say, but are you a doctor? And how do you convince people that you have, as a nutritionist, you have something to offer? You know, for you in the 1970s, for me in the 1990s, I was being asked, do you have really anything to offer as a nutritionist? Can you really offer medical advice? What do you say to that?
What has amazed me is that today, as we talk, communities are aware about nutrition. And they're aware that we have trained nutritionists. They're aware that all the universities in Kenya are trained, and they are not few. And therefore, voices of nutritionists have increased. They are not as they were during my days. Beyond that, they also are aware that government has put in a lot of effort to support the nutritionists. They can offer jobs to them, both national government and county governments. They have jobs for nutritionists. But beyond that, we have industries. We have schools. We have mission groups working in various activities as NGOs and that. And all of them, at one time or another, interact with the people at that very level where nutritionist is needed. And I don't think we have enough nutritionists yet to go around the industries, to go around the schools, to go around the churches, to go around NGOs, to offer nutritionists at every primary school, at every community church level. And they have a lot of congregations coming to church and they listen very carefully and sometimes even organize cooking classes there. And I think we need our people to be creative, to go outside the box, thinking that you are only going to be employed to offer your nutrition skills. That skill does not only need to go into the laboratory. When I started to talk to the women and the communities in the East African Railways and Harbors at that time, they were not laboratories. The laboratory was at Kabete. The laboratory was maybe at Kampala and at Kenyatta at the hospital.
Very far.
Very, very far. I was all alone out there. I went to my own community, and I come from Busia there, and set up a little center for myself where I brought the mothers and the fathers of the malnourished children with their child. And I put them there and we organized that they stay with us. I got, fortunately, later on, when this became obvious that was a need, then the leader came in to put up cottages for us.
Yes.
But initially, I started with the families. I would go to the family, you single out malnourished children, put the families together, and you promise to go there every day to see how they are eating, to see how they are eating, to see what food they have.
And nobody's paying you.
Nobody's paying. But when you have to start. You can't be paid before you have worked. People must understand that. That if you're waiting for salary to be shown to you before you get out of your door, nobody's going to give it to you. But when they see you working, people are going to give you a salary.
First, you need to work, prove yourself, and then money will come.
Correct.
I think that's what our young people need to hear more of. You know, they're waiting. We're waiting to be... to get a nice job out there, but the need is so great out there. First work, money will follow.
Today, go out there and set up as an environment where people will see you and hear you talk of being able to produce food that will strengthen the body of infants and fight against COVID.
Yes.
People will come to you.
People will come to you.
County government will want you at their hospital. Even the church will call you to come and talk to the congregations. The NGOs will want you to talk to the women when they do their table banking.
Barazas.
They will call you. So we are losing a lot of opportunity through waiting to be called. And it's unfortunate that that's it. We have grown up to believe that you are employed to offer your skills. But we should change the narrative. That we say you go to work and you'll be employed.
First, offer your skill.
Offer your skills. The community will be able to say, then let's put together our vegetables to sell, to sustain this person in the community. If not, the church will say, we'll pay you a little soap allowance during the week, and you come here once a week. The industry may say, stay here with us and help us to produce.
First, show what you have.
Yes.
Wonderful. Prof, thank you for saying that. My next question to you, Prof, but how do you conquer fear? Fear of going to the unknown, fear of failure. We are telling our young students or our young people who are entering the profession, just show your skill. Go to the community, go to the church, go to the slum, go to the where the women are. How do you conquer that fear of the unknown, the fear of, will they listen to me? I am a nutritionist. Will they listen? For you, I'm talking to the veteran of the 1970s.
Fear only develops if you yourself is unsure. Uncertain of yourself. But if you know that you have some skills in you and you're trained to be a nutritionist, there's no reason why you should fear. Because there are very few others who have been trained as nutritionists. So go to them. Don't go to say, I'm a trained nutritionist, so I want you to listen to me. Go and show them what you think they are lacking. People are always ready to find solutions to your problem. And there are very many problems, as we have said.
Yes.
And you talk of starvation today. You talk of water. You talk of starvation. And you talk of somebody to be at the school and assist in the kitchen for the cooks to put together a wholesome meal for the school. These are avenues where you can go and start to express your interest, but also show your skills.
Yes.
Go to the headmaster and request if you can accompany the cooks and help them to organize the kitchen, to produce a meal that's going to help the children develop better.
Or even analyze the menu.
And analyze the menu.
Wow.
The school may say, stay here and be doing that every day. Because every day we'll be getting different types of foods.
Yes.
And we want you to ensure that whatever ingredients we get, are good enough, that they have something in them,
yes,
so that we don't waste money buying things that don't add value. So you start that way. You go to the factory also and say, now you're producing bread. Let's add something to it.
Yes.
Break it. Yeah?
Add value to the bread.
Add value to the bread. And there you go.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Prof, you founded the Kenya Nutrition Dietitians Institute. And now as a founder, you have seen so many potential jobs that a nutritionist can do. What unusual jobs would you tell a nutritionist to do? So have you seen any unusual job that you said, wow, that can be done by a nutritionist?
There are lots of unusual jobs. Just advocacy itself.
Advocacy?
Just to be able to talk to the public and raise that voice and continue to draw their attention to the fact that this is nutrition. And the nutrition goes beyond just talking about nutrition. Tell them what nutrition is about in their life. Not go saying nutrition.
Mm.
Talk about the contents of or food that improves their health.
Mm.
There, of course, that you can do at the hospital level.
Yes.
The doctors want you.
Yes.
Today, the doctors at bedside want a nutrition working along with them.
Yes.
You prescribe nutrition cure. They prescribe their pharmaceutical
medicine. Yes.
And the patients know very well that medicine alone with that nutritious meal is not going to be of value to them.
Mm.
And the doctor needs to be there when he's looking at a diabetic person. He's looking at
the renal.
Mm. He's looking at the cardiac patient.
Mm.
Name it. So today at the world level, we are wanted. We are wanted at the world level, at the bedside. We are wanted at the world level, at food preparation and presentation level. We are wanted at the food level just to talk to the patients.
Mm.
And they have little clinics out there to advise the patients as they need.
Mm.
They want them to prepare diet sheets.
Yes.
Mm. That at a hospital level.
Mm.
As we have said, at a community level, they are required to walk along that agriculture to say, in this plant that you are growing here, you have it. These are the content of its product that's going to be eaten.
Mm.
And if it is the type of food that is very common and is used a lot in the area, can we fortify it so that when a person eats it, they get a lot out of it all at once?
Mm.
That's an area.
Mm.
You go to the market, the stalls, what are they selling?
Mm.
All wimby, or maize, or cassava. Encourage them to offer a variety of foods.
Mm-hmm.
Go to, where can we go?
How about government? That's one place I hardly see the voice of a nutritionist in
yes,
government.
But the government needs nutritionists.
Policy level.
A policy level.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the government needs both national and the county governments need a nutritionist to be part of their policy population systems.
Mm-hmm.
So that nutrition, as we say, is an important component of population growth and development is embedded in there because they have to constantly tell the government that an unhealthy population cannot produce a wealthy nation.
It's true.
And it's them now to be in part of that policy making team so that they emphasize the need to have a policy that produces wholesome food, that provides clean water, that ensures that factories are doing the right things, that foods are not polluted and treated.
Mm.
And all this requires a nutritionist.
Mm.
So those are there. Yeah. There are international communities are looking for nutritionists.
Mm.
In their food programs, in their policies, everywhere.
actually.
In the athletics field,
Now that the Olympics are going on, there has to be a nutritionist for those athletes.
Yes, you have to have an athlete for those athletes. And because they thrive on nutrition.
Yes.
If their bodies are not nutritionally balanced, they cannot do what they are doing.
Yeah. We were watching the gymnastics yesterday, and I was telling my family members, you know, those gymnasts who are flying up through the air, they have a lot of nutrition problems to stay very small and lean.
Yes. But and they grow every fiber in the system.
Yes.
The bones need their own supply.
Yes.
The cartilage needs their own supply.
Yes.
The nerves need their own supply.
Yes.
The cells, the blood cells, and
everything. To make that athlete who's jumping and landing on their feet.
Correct.
Wow. How did you deal with the quacks yourself? Because we find that in the mainstream media, the people who are offering the nutrition advice are not really qualified. I know it is still a recurring problem. How shall we deal with these nutritionists who have learned through Google? You know, they read something and they are an expert right away.
It's tragic. Mm. And I think that the trained nutritionists must step up their activities. So, to fight.
Mm.
And you can only fight with knowledge. So the knowledge you have acquired has got to be applied. If there is a vacuum, and nature doesn't like vacuum, it will create something to fill in that gap. Quacks come in where there isn't a voice of a nutritionist. And they'll take over. They'll take over. Today, quacks are business people. They're just like a kiosk business. They sell their merchandise. When they go and talk like that, of course, people believe them. We have said that people are interested in nutrition knowledge. And whatever it comes, they'll take it.
And they're so convinced in some of this.
Yes, and they have adapted a language. So we also must adapt a language. We must adapt a language, very strong language.
Mm.
We must motivate
the
people. We have to be motivational speakers in nutrition as well.
That is such a nice challenge for us.
Yeah.
We really need to amplify.
We have to amplify our information very much. Mm. We started the KNDI because I saw this happen and a lot. One thing is that our graduates of nutrition at whatever level were not able to fit in very quickly, just like you are saying. They didn't know how to find jobs, and they didn't know how to find a platform to even amplify their knowledge. Mm. So I looked at this. I said, those are gaps. Secondly, the programs we have at the institution to teach them knowledge, don't teach them the application. Don't encourage them. Don't remove that fear. Don't tell them this is where. They don't tell them this is where you go. This is how you approach this. Mm. So we therefore thought that post qualification, whatever, post degree, post diploma, post certificate, they needed to sit together with the people who have gone out there and have experience and tell them this is what you are going to be faced with. And we are going to certify you to go and do that.
So
by giving them that certification, it's like qualifying them. Giving them a voice. When they show the certificate, then they are believed. That is that's an evidence that they have the knowledge.
But you're not a quack.
That you're not a quack. Then secondly, we have also in that one introduced during their internship training exposure to where you can find a job, who you can approach, how you can apply. That's the reason why we take those who want to do data side nutrition, we send them to hospitals.
Yes.
Those who want to do community nutrition, we send them to communities.
Yes.
Those who want to do dietary a preparation, we also send them to where kitchens can show them how to do that. Those who want to go into the industry, we send them to industry. To see how they produce large-scale food for market.
Yeah.
So KNDI, basically the Kenyan Nutrition Standard Institute, offers those opportunities.
Mm, yes.
And that was the easiest way to instill confidence in our people.
Yes.
And given certify them to go into the community with an identification mark.
Yes.
They produce their ID, which is a certificate of quality from the institute.
Definitely.
Mm. Nutritionists must not be afraid to confront the job.
This program is actually going around the African continent. And in your opinion, you have said that the field of nutrition is not saturated at all.
It is not. We're far from it. We're just at the beginning.
We're just beginning.
First of all, we have not even developed our own laboratories.
Oh.
We are only teaching that state at a common level. We have not even thought of where do we in my own community develop a little nutrition clinic for people to come to. As they come for maternal child health and weighing of the babies and all that, they come to understand their own nutrition needs. And there should be a nutritionist there alongside the nurse. And they like it. And all the clinics are still empty. We don't have nutritionists to sit there.
Dear listeners, I want to thank Professor Julia Ojambo for giving us this time. You've heard it. There are not enough nutritionists out there. And for the young students who inspired this program, I really encourage you to go out there, create your jobs, let your voice be heard. Prof, in a loud, big voice, tell the listeners, tell the students, go out, create, offer your skills. They won't listen to me, but they will listen to the trailblazer. So let them hear the voice of the trailblazer.
But there's no space for you at home. There's no space for you in the offices. There's no space for you hanging on Mary for a job. The space is out there. You've been armed with the skills and knowledge. For goodness sake, go and show up yourself. Go and market yourself. And nobody will see you if you're sitting at home. Nobody will hear you if you're not talking to them. Go and talk about yourself. Go and show what you can do. Go and choose where you want to sit and do it. And opportunities are there.
You heard that, listeners? Go out into the media. Go to the newspapers. Go to shout in the market. All right? Just go outside. Leave your living room. Leave your office. Leave your house. Just go out and market. I thank you, Professor Julia Ojambo. This is a very precious interview and precious time for us. Thank you so much for gracing our studio. And listeners, remember to always eat healthy so you can live healthy. Bye-bye. This is Dr. Mary Mugambi saying bye-bye.
Bye.
12 Talk Radio Africa. I hope you have enjoyed today's program and will join us for the next episode.
If you have any questions or comments, contact me directly via email, which is healthtalkradioafrica@gmail.com. Remember, at Health Talk Radio Africa, we discuss health and nutrition issues that affect Africa. We offer practical solutions from the experts. Please subscribe to the program and share with friends. This way the program can be more visible and help as many people as possible. I am your host, Dr. Mary Mugambi, wishing you a fantastic time.